Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Bruce Wicker, a former CEO with Hanes and a consultant to the flooring industry. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. How about you?
I'm good. So we've just gone through this 4th of July slowdown that the whole industry goes through, and it's time to get back in the saddle. I wanted to catch up with you. I know you've recently traveled to Germany to give a presentation.
Yeah, so there was a group called AMI, which does polymers and flooring, and they've got one coming up actually in November in Cleveland. But yeah, so I actually didn't travel. I did it virtually, but I did a presentation on LVT.
And is your call on LVT that it started to slow down a little bit, but still growing?
The call on LVT is that the average price is a lot lower because of disinflation as well as mix. So it's becoming more commoditized. But the product itself is still going to be the one that consumers want to buy for all the reasons we all know. So I still think LVT will continue to grow faster than other product categories. But right now, that's not saying a whole lot, is it?
No, it's not. Everything's kind of slow. All right. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk today is this news just a couple weeks ago about Virginia Tile being joined with Gallagher using private equity. I guess it's Transom Capital that's pulling this together. Most people know Gallagher is the, I guess, number three largest distributor in the U.S. and the largest on the West Coast. And Virginia Tile is big in the Midwest with headquartered out of Detroit. And you spent some time there. You were interim CEO during COVID. So tell us about that play.
Sure. So I was involved with Virginia Tile with Heron Equity Partners out of Charlotte, Virginia. They acquired the company in 2018. Then he asked me to become interim CEO, and then COVID hit. So I was interim CEO a lot longer than I would have thought. In any event, we found Sunil. So Sunil became the CEO, and we recruited him on board. And then I stepped away. Fast forward, the transaction was done about 3 weeks ago. Transom, who had just acquired Gallagher, and I guess a few months before that, is now bought Virginia Tile, and Sunil will be the head of all of it. So they've got a very successful Virginia Tile company. Great. It's ready and poised to grow. You've got Gallagher, which I believe would be in the middle of trying to improve their operations and business. So, you know, I'm sure Sunil will do a good job with that.
You mentioned Sunil. I know that he's taken the lead position. Rick Coates is also maintaining his president's role at Gallagher. And, you know, this is a pattern we're seeing. In the past, another company that you had your job with was with Hanes. And Hanes and Belknap White and Swift Train have combined. So there's a push toward distribution with a national scope, isn't there?
I don't actually know that a national scope in distribution necessarily in flooring is the best model, but I'm not sure how many people are going in the direction, but we are seeing consolidation of companies trying to break out of being landlocked. And the best example is Home Depot buying SRS. They bought the former company that I was involved with, Construction Resources before that, Right Rugs before that. You're seeing consolidation of enterprises trying to get less landlocked. They're trying to get into more channels, have a bigger TAM, a total, you know, available market. And I think we're going to see that trend of this bigger get bigger. And the flooring space is relatively small in the universe of interior and exterior products. But the Home Depot deal is an example of we're going to get sucked into that. And it may just not be within the flooring arena. It may be a larger arena that flooring gets sucked into in this consolidation process.
You know, every time I turn around, I look at who are these people targeting. And, you know, traditional distribution, they were targeting retailers. You know, they were in the middle between the manufacturer or the importer and the retailer. But now when you start looking at the way things are positioned, they're also targeting the pro. Floor and Decor is targeting the pro. Home Depot is targeting the pro. And these distribution
Absolutely.
Companies are around too, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. The pro, your contractor, architects, and designers trying to get through all the vehicles within the channels. Absolutely.
Well, let's move to demand for a minute. I think this morning we're running the story on FloridaDaily that Truist just came out with a report and they're cutting their estimates for publicly traded companies for the second half of 2024. And this, you know, we're talking about Floor and Decor and Mohawk. You know, things are not picking up like we had anticipated at the beginning of the year, and it looks like any recovery is going to be more next year, right?
Yeah. So, in fact, I talked with Keith Hughes of Truist just a couple days ago, and I listened to Santo in your interview with him. And if I think back to when you and I talked at coverings, I think it was in April, I said I was cautiously optimistic. Yeah, demand is not what anyone thought it was going to be. This is the second year in a row that we said the second half would save us. I believe that a few things have to happen for demand to truly recover. And what's really interesting, Kemp, is the comps they're bad comps, but we still can't get over those comps. I mean, that's a sign that things are really pretty weak. I think we're at the bottom, and we've said that before, but I really do think we're at the bottom. You know, price and demand. And demand on the unit basis is creeping up, but there's just not enough momentum to make that thing turn. So we're going to have to wait for a few things, and we could talk about what those things might be.
Let's do talk about why remodel is so slow. I mean, we've talked about the interest rates. Just blame everything on interest rates. So that's slowing down the turn of homes, both on the existing and new construction side. But there's other factors. The stock market is near peak. Employment, you know, everybody's working. So, I mean, there's a lot of drivers for those folks who are going to stay in their home to remodel. So why do you think it's slow?
I think of a few things. When you look at price or dollar revenue of demand, obviously we've got a trade down mix, which is really dragging things down in all product categories. So that's one factor. And then you've got the disinflation of price, right? And then you've got the issue of during COVID, there was a lot of remodeling brought forward. And then you've got people who maybe didn't do that remodeling or not much of it. And now they're going to stay in their home. But I think most of them are waiting for the interest rates to go down. So will they put money into a home that they know they're eventually going to get out of? I think the answer is no, particularly when they're kind of burdened by fear and uncertainty. So geopolitically, political at home, when do interest rates come down, by how much? All of these factors weigh on the decision to spend money on a high ticket discretionary item that can be postponed nearly indefinitely. Yes, the units, existing home sales and new home sales and so on, and we haven't talked about commercial, there are, you know, those fundamental reasons. Interest rates, when they do start to come down, there's a lag effect. I mean, we are feeling the lag effect of interest rate increases still now. So the lag effect on the lower interest rates takes time to get through the system. But when we get one or two this year, it starts the psychological change. And when the psychological change about the fear and uncertainty starts to turn, that helps demand. But it isn't really going to take off until the interest rates really get lower and deal with the inflation aspect of this. So I think 2025, I kind of agree with Santo, it's going to be a modest increase. This year is going to be a decrease in terms of flooring demand, but by 2026, things will be good. I'd have predicted 2025, they'd be really good, but it's not going to happen. They'll be good, second half. So for the third year, we're going to say the second half is going to save us. But I do believe demographics are poised to really help us once we get this thing turned.
Well, I guess in the short term, we're going to see, as Warren Buffett used to say, who's swimming naked? Because, I mean, it's just going to be more slowness for the rest of the year, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just got to tough it out. You got to, you know, just run the playbook, keep your expenses down, go get share. Don't use price. It won't help. Diversify. You know, everyone's doing it. It depends on what you're selling to whom and where. Some people are doing pretty darn well, but in general, it's going to be another tough year.
Okay, Bruce, it was great to talk to you. Thanks for talking to our listeners. Again, been talking to Bruce Wicker, an industry consultant, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.